It's good to be with you today. It's good to see everyone. Hope that you can be back tonight at 5:30 for our evening service. Good to see you then. Now go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of Acts. It's where we will spend our time today in the book of Acts. As we have studied over the last few weeks, coming away from the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, we've talked about kind of spiritual renewal and spiritual revival. And last week we looked at the idea of making sure we had the right information and having the right directions as we want to go to be renewed and be revived. And in sort, what I thought would be a good idea is to kind of take a look at maybe a test case of how all that works. What happens when we're faced with the right information? What happens when the message of Jesus makes its way to us and we decide we need to change and we decide we need to move forward? You see, we can learn from others' experiences and then be able to move forward accordingly in our own lives. And so today we look at one such case, and we begin that study in Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, the story that unfolds there is the message that Stephen gives as he has been brought down and has been arrested here and kind of placed on trial as he defends his beliefs and as he defends what is the truth about Jesus. We know that they don't like the message. They don't like what he has to say. Ultimately, they will rush upon him and stone him. In verse 58 of chapter 7, it says, "They cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul." This is our first introduction to Saul. Very inauspicious verse, just kind of there. Now they kind of mention this man who held the coats of those who would execute Stephen. But in the very next chapter, in Acts chapter 8, begins with it said, "And Saul approved of his execution, and there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him, but Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison." We see again this person, Saul, who we were just introduced to, is now making it his personal mission to destroy the church. His personal mission to go out and have Christians arrested and taking them and separating them and doing all that he can to bring down this church, this thing that Jesus built. Chapter 9 begins quite almost the same way as chapter 8. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found anyone belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Well, we don't know much about Saul at this point, other than he is opposed to the message of Jesus. He is against God. He is against Christ. He is against the church. And he's doing everything he can with great fervor to bring down what happened with Jesus and what's happening with the growth of, as it said in chapter 9, the way, the church. You know, it's apparent to us, it's apparent as we read this, it's apparent as we know the story and as we watch it unfold, it is very apparent that Saul was not doing what God wanted. It is obvious that Saul was not in a good relationship with God at this point, that he was actually fighting against him. But you know what? He thought he was doing what was right. He thought he was doing what God wanted. Notice Acts chapter 23 in verse 1. Here he is before the council, And he says in verse 1, "Brothers, I have lived my life before God in all good conscience up to this day." Paul there talks about his conscience being clear and how he had done what he thought was right before God up to that day, even to the point of standing at the feet of Stephen as they stoned him, even to the point of going house to house and dragging people off to be arrested, even to the point of going to the high priest and seeking for letters that anyone that he found that belonged to the church could be punished. But he said, in all clear conscience, I was serving God. In chapter 26, in verse 9, in his defense before Agrippa, he says this, "I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus of Nazareth." I myself was convinced, in good conscience, in clear conscience, in what he felt was serving God, he opposed Jesus. He opposed the church. So let's go back to who Saul was. It's apparent to us and it's obvious to us that Saul is not right, that what Saul is doing is wrong, and that Saul needs renewal. He was spiritual, yes. But he was not spiritual based on truth. You know what we talked about last week? Having the right information. Having the right directions. Paul didn't have the right directions. Paul didn't have the right information. He was not right before God. He needed a spiritual revival. He will get that in Acts chapter 9. As we go back to Acts chapter 9, we see in verse 3, after he had gotten the letters and was headed toward Damascus, it says in verse 3, "Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do.' The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank." Here is Saul on his mission, zealous for God, but without information, without the truth. He's heading in the wrong direction. He needs a revival. He needs a renewal of what really is the truth. Well, he's going to get that in a very dramatic fashion. As he travels along, God has a plan for Saul. And so he blinds him on the road, and Jesus calls out to him, saying, "Why are you persecuting me?" Remember what Saul said? He said, "I was convinced that I should oppose Jesus. I was convinced that Jesus was wrong and that this church, this way, needed to be put down. I was convinced that I was right." But in a matter of just a few seconds, he understood he was not right. As he travels along, he is stricken blind. This great light shines, and the light calls out to him and says, "Why are you persecuting me?" The people around him could hear the voice but could see nothing. Here it is on the road to Damascus that Saul is humbled. Zealous, yes, based on false information. And he's brought to his knees here in the realization that this Jesus is real. This Jesus was true. This Jesus is who I should be serving. This Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. He had what you might say was an eye-opening moment, but for him it was a blinding moment. The light bulb came on. He was the Messiah. He was Jesus. His death was real. His death was for me. I am opposing the Lord. You know, Saul realized the state of his life and his weaknesses all in a matter of seconds. And then, as they get up from that moment, he has to be led to Damascus because he can't see. Now, as you can imagine, he's going to need some help. The road to Damascus left him a little weak. It left him blind. It left him in need. And so as you get to verse 10, it says, "Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias,' and he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' And the Lord said to him, 'Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to our saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name.'" I think it's understandable as we see the plan that God has for Saul and how that plan is going to unfold, that it's going to involve someone else, that someone else is Ananias. And I think we would all be in the same boat when it comes to Ananias. You want me to go talk to who? You want me to approach this man? He just left the high priest with letters to lead people to prison, and you want me to go to him? Might be a little fearful. Might be a little afraid of what might happen. But God says to him in verse 15, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles, the kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, taking food, and he was strengthened. What happens here? We enter the story, we begin with Saul in a situation where he needs help. He's lost. He's facing a situation where he's living his life based on the wrong information. He needs the right information. On the road to Damascus, he gets a clue as to that right information, doesn't he? He gets clued in as to the opposition that he's been creating is against the wrong thing. He's been opposing Jesus, but Jesus is the Son of God. And he's told to go and wait, and now a man comes to him. And Acts 22 gives us a little bit more glimpse of what actually took place here. Paul fills up some of this story in Acts 22 in verse 12. When he's telling the story, he says, "And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing by me said to me, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' And at that very hour I received my sight and saw him. And he said, 'The God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name.'" In a very simple summarization of what happens to Paul as to Saul as he is in Damascus, is he understands the gospel. The gospel is explained to him. The gospel is taught to him. And then he obeys that gospel. In other words, Saul converts. He was lost. He had the wrong information. But when he was given the right information and taught the truth, he then obeys that truth. He's converted. He's granted spiritual renewal. He's granted spiritual revival. Now, what does he do with that? That's an interesting question, right? What's he going to do with that? Here he is. He has led people to death. He stood at the feet of Stephen as they stoned him. He's put people in prison. He's doing all that he can to destroy the church. Now he understands he must defend the truth. He must defend the church. He must defend Jesus. He must go teach Jesus to the world because now he understands the gospel and now he's obeyed the gospel. Well, as you see what happens next, Verse 20. And immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." Immediately he begins to share. Immediately he confesses that he knows who Jesus is, that Jesus is the Son of God, and begins to proclaim Jesus in all these synagogues. You know, we know Saul was zealous. It was one characteristic that was synonymous from the time before he obeyed the gospel and the time after he obeyed the gospel. He was very zealous, but his zeal was without knowledge, without a knowledge of the truth. Now that he's got that truth, he begins to use that zeal to move forward. Verse 20, he immediately begins to share the gospel. Verse 22, Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. This Jesus that Paul said, "I felt like I needed to oppose him," he now defends and now proves that Jesus is the Christ. That zeal with that knowledge would then gain Saul quite a bit of enemies. Verse 23 says, "When many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul. They were watching the gates day and night in order to kill him. But his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket." Now Saul has turned the tables and he's on the other side. He defends Jesus. He teaches Jesus. And now his life is sought because of that. You see, the gospel brings renewal. The gospel brings revival. The gospel brings us into a relationship with Jesus that heads us spiritually where we ought to be. Saul is experiencing that. Saul repented, Saul confessed, Saul obeyed, and he went from persecutor to preacher. But isn't that the test case that we've been talking about? Isn't that the case that shows us what renewal and revival is all about when we understand what Jesus has done for us? When we understand what Jesus can do in our lives, we see in the case of Saul, who ultimately becomes Paul, just what a difference truth can make. You know, Saul is like us. Saul is like us in a lot of ways. At some point, we find ourselves maybe not where we want to be with God. Saul found that out in a very dramatic fashion. And we may find ourselves in the place Saul was before his conversion. And I think we can say without question, Saul was not what God wanted. Saul was not right before God. He was opposing Jesus. He was opposing Christians. He was opposing the church. His heart needed to be changed. Maybe something needs to change for us. Maybe something in our life needs to change. And maybe coming into contact with the message of Jesus and renewing our understanding of that message and what Jesus does can lead us to the place where, like Saul, we can have that spiritual renewal and spiritual revival. You know, we talked about last week how the information is at our fingertips, how readily available that information is. The information, the directions are here for us in Scripture. All we've got to do is follow it. And if we need to renew or revive or to start our relationship with God, the message is here. The message is here for us to follow. The message is here for us to get to that place where we can become all that God wants us to be. When we take into consideration the case of Saul, look at where he was. You could not be more opposed to Jesus. You could not be more opposed to the church or the gospel. And he went from the great opposer to the man who would then become the great champion of the gospel of Christ. Just look at how many people know Jesus because of the messages that Saul would go on to teach. That's what can happen when we give ourselves to the message of Jesus. That's what happens when we give ourselves fully to what God can do for us in understanding that message and following through. Perhaps you're here this morning and you need to follow through with some spiritual renewal and spiritual revival. Perhaps you need to rededicate yourself to God. Perhaps you're here and you've never entered into that relationship with Him and you'd like to do that. As we see the story, as we see the case of Saul, we see the things that we've been studying in our devotional books play out for us and just how beneficial it can be. It all revolves around Jesus and what He can do. This morning, if there's something that you need to do, if you need to make something right, if you need to obey the gospel, won't you do so as we stand and as we sing?